of these reasons may perhaps be refuted by the imperfections of the performance. Could I have hoped to render it worthy of your patronage, the public would at once have seen the propriety of inscribing a work designed to illustrate the domestic antiquities of England, and particularly of our Saxon forefathers, to the learned author of the Essays upon the Horn of King Ulfus, and on the lands bestowed by him upon the patrimony of St. Peter. I am conscious, however, that the slight, unsatisfactory, and trivial manner in which the result of my antiquarian researches has been recorded in the following pages takes the work from under that class which bears the proud motto, Detur Digniori. On the contrary, I fear I shall incur the censure of presumption in placing the venerable name of Dr. Jonas Dryasdust at the head of a publication which the more grave antiquary will perhaps class with the idle novels and romances of the day. I am anxious to vindicate myself from such a charge, for although I might trust to your friendship for an apology in your own eyes, yet I would not willingly stand convicted in those of the public of so grave a crime as my fears lead me to anticipate my being charged with. I must therefore remind you that when we first talked over together that class of productions, in one of which the private and family affairs of your learned northern friend, Mr. Oldbuck of Monk Barnes, were so unjustifiably exposed to the public, some discussion occurred between us concerning the cause of the popularity which works, which, whatever other merit they possess, must be admitted to be hastily written, and in violation of every rule assigned to the Epopoea, have attained in this idle age. It seemed then to be your opinion that the charm lay entirely in the art with which the unknown author had availed himself, like a second Macpherson, of the stores of antiquity which lay scattered around him, supplying his own indolence or poverty of invention by the incidents which had actually taken place in his country at no distant period, introducing real characters and scarcely suppressing real names. It was not above 60 or 70 years, you observed, that the whole north of Scotland was under a state of government nearly as simple and as patriarchal as those of our good allies the Mohawks and Iroquois. Admitting that the author cannot himself be supposed to have witnessed these times, he must have lived, you observed, among persons who had acted and suffered in them, and even within these 30 years such an infinite change has taken place in the manners of Scotland that men look back upon their fathers' habits of society as we do on those of the reign of Queen Anne. Having thus materials of every kind lying strewed around him, there was little, you observed, to embarrass the author but the facility of choice. It was no wonder, therefore, that, having begun to work a mind so plentiful, he should have derived from his works fully more credit and profit than the facility of his labours merited. Admitting, as I could not deny, the general truth of these conclusions, I cannot but think it strange that no attempt has been made to obtain an interest for the traditions and manners of old England, similar to that which has been excited in behalf of those of our poorer and less celebrated neighbours. The Kendal Green, though its date is more ancient, ought surely to be as dear to our feelings as the variegated tartans of the north. The name of Robin Hood, if duly conjured with, should raise a spirit as soon as that of Rob Roy, and the patriots of England deserve no less their renown in our modern circles than the Bruces and Wallaces of Caledonia. If the scenery of the south be less romantic and sublime than that of the northern mountains, it must be allowed to possess in the same proportion superior softness and beauty. And upon the whole, we feel ourselves entitled to exclaim with the patriotic Syrian, are not Farfar and Abana, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Your objections to such an attempt, my dear doctor, were, you may remember, twofold. You insisted upon the advantages which the Scotsman possessed from the very recent existence of that state of society in which his scene was to be laid. Many men alive, you remarked, well-remembered persons who had not only seen the celebrated Roy MacGregor, but had feasted and even fought with him. All those minute circumstances belonging to private life and domestic character, all that gives verisimilitude to a narrative and individuality to the persons introduced, is still known and remembered.